It is a beautiful Monday morning.
Absolutely sensational.
I like him. He's aggressive. He gets in there.
But I do have one more point about Liverpool, though.
Honestly.
Absolutely stunningly beautiful.
Plazenac. Oh, jeez.
An absolute beautiful goal.
Welcome to the Trade Mate Sports Podcast.
G'day, everyone, and welcome to episode 2 of the Aussie Podcast. Once again, I am joined by my great mate, Jason, and today we are going to talk about the upcoming NRL season 2020, preview the season, go through what we think might happen, the key ins and outs of every team, and also give you our predictions and some value bets towards the end. Jason, mate, are you there?
Hey, mate, how's it going? Great to be here again. Looking forward to getting stuck into episode 2 of the Aussie Podcast and see how we go.
Mate, you don't sound as energetic as last time. Is it a bit early where you are?
Oh, mate, I'm in New York City at the moment. It's 6 a.m. Just waking up, so I'm ready to get stuck into it and get through all our predictions and see how close we can get.
All right, mate, that's good. All right, we'll start off with the Brisbane Broncos. I guess probably one of the most hated teams in the league, I'd have to say. Probably for you, especially.
Especially for me, mate. Definitely not up there with my most favourite, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, another Queensland team, mate. It's, you know how I am with that.
Yeah, I think they're supposed to be my second favourite team, but I've grown to hate them over the years. All right, mate. Last year they finished 8th. They got smashed out of the finals in week 1 by Parramatta, which I think everyone kind of had a go at them for that, but although it was a massive scoreline, I think it was 50-plus points, I think they achieved, I honestly think they punched above their weight a little bit last year. I don't think they had as great a team as everyone thought they did. But anyway, their key ins this year, Brody Croft, Jesse Arthurs from the Titans, Brody Croft being the biggest one. Not many have left. Not really key names, but we've got Darius Boyd's not the captain anymore. Alex Glenn is, which is quite interesting. And another in is actually Corey Parker as assistant coach, which I found quite interesting. What do you think about the Bronx this year, mate?
Yeah, they're a watch and act for me. I agree with you, Ashley. I reckon they overachieved, and I don't know if they've improved their squad overly too much this year. Matt Lodge is obviously going to be a bit of a loss early with his going down with a knee in pre-season, expected to miss at least the first couple of months of the season. So, yeah, I know they're a bit of a watch and act. Brody Croft is a bit of an unknown. He played well in Melbourne here and there, but could never really lock down a spot in the side. So to see him running around in Brisbane colours and running the ship back in his hometown where he went to school, I reckon it would be a very interesting year with the Broncos.
Oh, I think he's the key, isn't it? I mean, last year, I can't remember who they had running around at 7 for most. I mean, they tried Darius Boyd, didn't they, at 6 and Milford at 7 for a bit. I think even Jake Turpin ran around there for a bit. He needs to fire, doesn't he? If he doesn't fire, because I don't think Milford on his own can control this team. I think they need like someone stable like a Croft, kind of like a Cooper Cronk kind of figure, someone that can stabilise the team and just steer them around the park, whereas Milford I don't think can do that as well. He's more of a, you know, lively, you know, play what's in front of him. That's where he's best, I think. I think he'll be key, mate. And I do think Seibold's a good coach. I do think he can take them forward. He's key, mate. He's very key, Seibold, in his second year. I think he'll start getting his points across that I think he was trying to get last year.
Yeah, I reckon it also comes down to whether their young forward pack can fire again and avoid the second-year syndrome. You got your Payne Haas and Fifita who set the world alight last year, and if they really need to either go to another level or at least play to the standard that they got to last year when they we're looking at Origin and representative on us. So, yeah, it'll be very interesting. There's potential for them to improve, especially in the back line, and their forward pack just needs to, even if they can only improve 5%, it'll be a big boost for them.
Yeah, I think their forward pack's surely going to get them going forward. I mean, Tevita Pangai Jr., Fifita, Haas, mate, seriously, some of the best forwards out there, young forwards at least. And then, yeah, Milford, if he can play on the back of them and get Croft going, I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with. My biggest question mark, too, is over Jermaine Asako and Jake Turpin for me. I just think I like Jake Turpin. He had a great, great first season. Biggest thing will be him backing that up. And then Jermaine Asako at fullback. I don't know. He's okay. He's not bad or anything like that. But I think that could be their weak point, maybe, in the spine at least.
Asako is an interesting one. I think he played a lot of his junior footy at fullback, so he's used to the position. I know he struggled under the high ball a little bit in the last couple of seasons, but I'm sure they've worked on that over the preseason this year, specifically with him playing at fullback. And I reckon Jake Turpin gives him a bit of run out of dummy half, which Andrew McCulloch was probably a little bit slower and more of a passer than a runner. So,
yeah
he could get them rolling forward.
Yeah, okay, mate. All right, that's enough about the old Bronx. This year, I've got them finishing in fifth. I think a lot of people have them in their top four, which I was very shocked about. I've got them fifth, mate, but to be honest, I'm not that confident with their prediction. They're 19 in odds to win the whole premiership this year. Where have you got them?
I've got them in sixth at the moment. I just think that they've got too much firepower there in their forward pack for them not to make an indent in the competition. It wouldn't surprise me, though, if they got to the finals again and ran out of gas and were out week one or two. So, I've got them at six at the moment, and hopefully we're closer and around the ball, because it sounds like we've got the same opinions. But, yeah, like we said, it'll depend on Croft and that forward pack.
Yeah, that's the thing. If that forward pack fires like they can, we know they can, then they'll be right up there come September time. But mate, we'll move on to the Canberra Raiders, the heartbroken green machine after last year's grand final loss to the Roosters, mate. I think they've done some reasonably astute business over the summer. They brought in Curtis Scott for Joey Leilua. And they've also brought in George Williams with Aiden Caesar departing. Just a quick note, Scott was arrested on Australia Day. I've got no idea what he did, but he's still being investigated by the NRL Integrity Unit, so he might actually miss part of the start of the season. What do you think about the inclusion of George Williams? Like, he has played a bit for England. He's won Super League titles. He's done all that, but it's another step up coming to the NRL, and for them to bring him in and get rid of Aiden Caesar, I think that's a bigger call than it's being touted to be.
Yeah, I like it, to be honest. I think his connection with Josh Hodgson and Bateman and Whitehead, the other English players in the Canberra side, I reckon the connection that they'll form should be quite seamless and quite immediate. Those guys will get him involved in the Canberra scene and get him, you know, acclimatized to Australia quite quickly. So I think it's a good pickup. I think Ricky Stewart obviously likes the English players, likes the way they play. You know, it's basically the English A team now in Canberra. So, look, I think it's a good pickup. I think it can't hurt them. And Aiden Caesar doesn't set the world alight. He's a solid player, but I don't think he's anything, outrageously good. So I don't mind it. I think, yeah, like I said, the connection with the other English players in the team should see them do quite well again this year, I would have thought.
Yeah, and I guess I'm just going off a bit of precedence, mate. Like, if you go and look at every English import we've ever had come over, the forwards seem to actually do quite well, but in general the backs have struggled. I'm probably looking at taking a bit of I'm kind of looking at the outside backs here. We haven't had too many halfbacks or 5'8s come over. The most recent I can think of is probably Gareth Widdop, and he killed it. But I feel like it's been like a real big hit or a real big miss when it comes to the English players coming over. I'm trying to like Callum Watkins is the most recent example. He came over to play for the Titans, and he was, I'm not going to lie, it's pretty horrendous. And he plays at centre. So I'm just a bit worried about when backs come over to Australia. I just feel like they don't perform as well as the forwards do, like your Whiteheads, your your Hodgsons. I mean, Gareth Ellis, Sam Burgess, you know, list goes on.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I had Sam Tompkins come over and play for the Warriors.
Exactly.
He was gone within a year and a half and went home because I don't think he was playing too well and wasn't getting the publicity that he was after. So, yeah, no, it's definitely a watch and act. I think there's a lot of teams this year where they could go either way and you could really sit on the fence, but I think it'll be a positive for them. I think Jack Whiteman's playing some good footy at the moment and did again in the All-Stars game. So I expect those two to click well and that the Raiders to have a good season.
Quickly on Ricky Stewart, mate. He's quite an intense character, and I'm wondering, I'm not sure what season this would be. He's at the Raiders now, probably season 3 or 4. He's one of those guys where I kind of fear that after a few seasons his style of management is going to wear thin on the players. Like, he's aggressive, you know, he's always, you know, blowing up and right in their faces. He wants maximum effort every week, which is obviously not a bad thing to be asking for. But I remember I was talking to my journalist, one of my lecturers back in the day, and he knew Ricky Stewart, and he said young players really struggle with Ricky Stewart because he kind of gets on their nerves after a couple of years because he's always in their face, you know, giving them everything. So I'm wondering what you think about Ricky Stewart and whether you think he'll be able to take them forward or further than a couple of years into his reign.
Well, he seems to have had success wherever he's gone. The Canberra side isn't a super young side. It's such there's not real many like 18, 19, 20-year-olds running around in their side. They're all seasoned pros and they've all been around the traps for a while, and I think their experience and their toughness is why they did so well last year. I think from what I've heard and read, Ricky seems to get the players going quite well. In Canberra, they seem to get around him and like him. I think they like the fact that they're in Canberra too, so they're a bit further away from the centre of it all in Sydney. You know, he had success at the Roosters. He's had success at both places he's gone. You can only really go off his numbers, and they're quite good. So, I know he blows up every once in a while and he's quite an intense character, but, you know, based off last year, and it's basically the same squad. They got around him. They performed well. I can't say anything different this year.
Yeah, righto. Yeah, I'm just looking at their team now. It's incredible, really, if you look, especially at their forward pack. I think it's very strong. Hodgson, Bateman, Whitehead, Tarpany, Papali. I mean, yeah, it's an incredible forward pack. But, mate, I have got them. I've got them finishing in the exact same position as last year in fourth place. And they're 7 in odds to win the premiership this year, mate. Where have you got them?
I got them in 2nd this year. I think it'll be I think they can bounce back and improve a little bit on last year with their connections, and I think Williams will be a good addition. But yeah, I see them coming in 2nd, and then home ground advantage for the finals, which could make them very dangerous.
Cool, mate. We'll move on to the Bulldogs. Mate, I don't even know where to start with the Bulldogs. Last year they finished 12th, and I have no idea how that happened. Mate, at the start of the season, everyone thought they'd pick up the spoon. And then they had a few bad games in a row. Dean Pay was immediately under the pump. But he got them to 12th, and I still don't think he got the plaudits that he deserves, mate, because if you look at that team on paper, and you still look at that team now on paper, mate, I'm telling you, it is a terrible, terrible team. I'm not going to mince my words here. It doesn't look up to the quality of NRL standards. So, and they've also lost Kieran Foran to injury until June with another shoulder surgery this year. So, mate, I'm not predicting a great season for the Bulldogs, but if anything from last year's to go by, maybe I'm completely wrong.
Yeah, they're not great, are they? I think their best opportunity to win some games this year might be through the Origin period where teams are, you know, a bit depleted with their best players going to Origin and then resting them the week or two after. So, there's not a lot to like, really. I don't like the Bulldogs at the best of times, but on paper, they're not looking great. You know, Napa, yeah, he's not the player. He's not the fearful player he was. The rest of the lineup looks like they're solid role players, but there's no one setting the world on fire. You got a makeshift nine there in Marshall King. The bench, you know, I don't even know most of the names on their bench. So, yeah, I think it's hard to be positive. I don't like being too negative, but it is hard to be positive. I think you're right. I think Dean Pay overperformed last year and, you know, they might win a handful of games this year, but I don't see them rising up the ladder, and I see them dropping down quite significantly from last year.
Yeah, I look at this team and I think anything but a wooden spoon is a miracle. Like, I just look at their spine, for example. You've got Jeremy Marshall King at nine, most likely. Lachlan Lewis and Brandon Wakeham in the halves. And Dallin Watene-Zalesniak at fullback. The only real big name there is Watene-Zalesniak. Yeah, mate, I don't have much hope for them at all this year. The only big in they've had, because they're still under a lot of salary cap pressure. They haven't lost anyone really, but the only key in is Joe Stimson from the Storm, who I think is a great player. The problem is he looked good at the Storm, and a lot of these Storm players, they look good at the Storm, and then they go to a different club, and they don't look like the player that they were at Melbourne. So, yeah, he comes in. For me, mate, I've got them coming dead last, as you can probably assume. They're at 34 in odds to win the premiership, which I think is probably the biggest undervalue bet of all time. what have you got for the Doggies, mate?
I've got them coming in second last this year as well. I just, yeah, don't see them performing too well and winning enough games to make an impact on the season this year.
Yeah, I mean, especially with four and out till June. Yeah, don't expect the greatest season, Doggies fans. I think last year you punched well above your weight. But all right, Sharkies, Cronulla Sharks, the Shire. Last year, seventh place. This year they brought in Jesse Ramian, but they have lost a wealth of experience in Paul Gallen, Matt Pryor, Kyle Flanagan, not much experience there in Flanagan, and also Kurt Capewell. What do you think of the Sharkies, mate?
Yeah, they're an interesting one this year. They've had a pretty turbulent off-season with Dugan in their headlines as per usual, and Josh Morris wanting out to go to the Chooks to play with his brother. So they're a team on paper that you just go, wow, these guys could do anything. And every year for the last since they've won their premiership, they've really just dropped off and really been massive underperformers, in my opinion. Sean Johnson has the potential to take games by the throat and just rip them apart, but he struggled to do that since coming over from the Warriors. One person I am really interested to watch this year is Jack Williams. Apparently he's been training the house down during preseason and is an absolute weapon. So yeah, It'll be good to see if they've got a pretty good back row. They're pretty solid across the park with names. Bronson Cherry is a young gun who's coming through the ranks. So it'll be interesting. They'll definitely knock off a few of the top teams, I think, this year. And if they can get some consistency behind them, they'll be one to watch.
Yeah, I'm looking 1 to 17 through them now, mate. And they are a tremendous side. Especially, I love their spine of Matt Moylan, Chad Townsend, Sean Johnson. The only real question mark for me in throughout their whole 13 is obviously you've got Dugan and maybe Josh Morris on the wing if he doesn't leave for the Roosters. And then obviously not, you know, out-and-out wingers. They haven't got much speed, but at least they'll be out there experienced. They'll be able to cart the ball out of their deep end quite well. But other than that, Blake Brayley would be my other question mark. Quite a young player. He'll need to go to another level if the Sharks are to do anything this year. And then my biggest question mark would be over the coach, John Morris. What did you think of Morris's first season, mate?
Again, I thought they were quite underperforming last year with the side that they had on the park. I know they were crippled by injuries, and that doesn't make it easy. And there was still a bit of carryover from everything that's happened to the club in the last few years. Yeah, I think he can only get better this year. Put it that way. I'm wary of being too critical on him last year. He was kind of thrown into the deep end with a bit of a sink or swim attitude, but I think he did okay without being great. And I hope they can get a bit better this year and improve. Something about their 13 is, you know, a couple of years ago they had 3, 4, or 5 in the Origin sides, and they were setting the world on, like, Matt Moylan was the next big thing. Dugan was playing Origin for Fido, Woods, Graham, and now really they've only got Graham playing Origin. So, yeah, it'll be interesting if they can all get back to their best form. They'll be ones to watch.
Yeah, Morris has got quite a tough job, doesn't he? He's handling some serious personalities there in Dugan. I mean, Jesse Ramian's proved to be a personality coming what he did at the Knights. Fafita, I mean, he's got some big names to look at there and try and, you know, make sure nothing clashes too much. I'm just, my prediction for them, 7th again. But to be honest, mate, I don't know. I kind of not rating my prediction too much. I could see them finishing higher. They're at 19 in odds also to win the Premiership. What have you got the Sharkies doing this year?
Yeah, I've gone a bit out of the box here. I've got them finishing 10th. I just don't trust them. And that's all it comes down to is they haven't been consistent enough over the last couple of years. And there's always something that happens at the Sharks, whether it's the players, the injuries, personalities, there's always something going on. So I just don't trust them this year. I've got them in 10th, but wouldn't surprise me if they cracked the top 8.
Yeah, mate, to be honest, I wouldn't be surprised if they even won the whole thing. My biggest question mark, like I said, is over the coach, John Morris, so whether he can take them to that next level, because, he hasn't really got much of a history of success, Morris, well, in terms of from last year. So, we'll see how they go, mate. And we'll move on to another beautiful part of the world, mate, from Cronulla to the Gold Coast.
Your boys.
My team, the Gold Coast Titans. And, you know, who wouldn't want to support the Gold Coast Titans, eh, mate?
People that like winning don't like supporting the Titans.
Oh, mate, it's been a rough couple of years, or it's been a rough 15 or so years ever since they came into the competition. Last year was just about the worst season. Probably one of the worst season they've ever had. Finishing last, in terms of what they'd done during the off-season, they've brought in too many people. They brought in Sam Lassone and Jonas Pearson, nothing big there. But the biggest in is their new coach, Justin Holbrook, all the way from St. Helens. From all words, mate, he sounds like a very, very good coach. But, I mean, you have to see how he goes, really, don't you?
Yeah, I think he did a tutelage under Trent Robinson at the Roosters before he went over to England too. So he's come from a good background, that's for sure. And he's got that behind him. So, you know, he's quite successful in Europe. It'll be interesting to see how he comes back and now taking the reins full time as a head coach in the NRL. I agree with you. I think it can only be a positive them getting involved in the club.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've written down here their kind of hopes pin on him being able to turn this club around, like literally do a, you know, a 180, because they're heading in the wrong direction at the moment. There's been lots of talks about them maybe having to, you know, leave the NRL because they're in serious debt and, you know, they're not providing too much competition in the NRL. So I've got him down as the key, and also Ash Taylor. I mean, what can you say about him? The million-dollar man seriously underperformed ever since he got that paycheck. So, yeah, I've got them down as my keys. They've also lost Ryan James through injury for the whole season once again. He's done his ACL again. Very sad news there. What do you think about Ash Taylor, mate?
I can't get a grip on him. Like, I know he's been going through some stuff the last few years, which is obviously going to affect his football on the field. In an interview the other day, he came out and said that he's happy again, he's up and about, he's ready to go, he's really excited for this year. So that's a positive sign for the club. And I just don't know if he's a strong enough personality to lead a side at 7. I feel like he might be better at six and run the ball a bit more and, you know, play his own way instead of the structure. It'll be interesting to see how Holbrook lets him go, whether he
puts him into that structure.
Sorry?
He has got Tyrone Roberts there to help him out a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So and that's what I mean with Holbrook. It'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works this year and whether he kind of just lets Roberts run the ship and let Ash play what he sees, because I think that's the best way that he needs to play, and his off-the-cuff football is quite good. So, it'll be interesting to see how they go this year.
Yeah, I mean, I look at their teammate, and they've still got some of the best young players coming up. AJ Brimson, I think he'll really benefit this year. Last year, he didn't have an off season or a preseason, I guess, because he had a shoulder problem. So I think he'll be better for the run this year. Fodder Waker's there too, one of the best up and coming forwards, and also Jai Arrow, who is arguably one of the best forwards in the whole competition. Mate, you're not going to believe it, but I've actually got them making the eight, which is probably the most biased pick of all time. But I sense there's like a new air around the Gold Coast with the new coach, Justin Holbrook. As you said, I love the fact that he's worked under Trent Robinson. I love the fact that he's had his time under Robinson, gone over to the Super League, an 80% win rate with St. Helens, and also won the title last year. I don't know. I've got nothing really to go by, mate, because it's a bit of a shot in the dark, because history would say they're going to finish probably in the bottom four, but I've got them finishing in eighth, mate, with the idea that Justin Holbrook is a serious coach and he'll be able to turn Ash Taylor around into the player that he once was, and get this team firing. Because on paper, mate, I know you don't really rate the Titans probably too much, but on paper they're not the worst team, are they?
No, they're not on paper. History says otherwise, and I'm going based off history. I've got them coming dead last again. I think Holbrook's going to have some time with them. I think they've been a basket case, putting it bluntly, the last couple of years, and he's not going to turn it around within one season or one preseason, I don't think. So I think we've got to give him some time,
okay,
before people judge him too much. They've got a solid team on paper, but there's no one shooting the lights out there and match winning games. You'll have Jai Arrow probably in the Queensland Origin side again, but he doesn't really want to be there. He wants to be in Sydney. I know he's come out and said in the paper he wants to stay, but the fact that he signed a year and a half before he's going there tells me he just doesn't want to be there and he wants to play in a winning side. So, yeah, I struggle to be positive about them. They don't get any crowds. Sport on the Gold Coast never hasn't worked historically. It's not working now with the NRL or the AFL. So, the problem is their depth as well. Like, Ash Taylor gets injured, or Brimson, or one of their better players goes down injured for the year, there's not really many people on the wings coming through that'll fill that. I think there's a big gap. So, no injuries. They might win a couple of games here and there and move up the ladder, but they get two or three injuries, I think it's going to be a hard year.
Yeah, mate. I mean, you're coming up with a more logical pick here. I'm not going to lie. I think I'm just extremely biased, maybe, and way too optimistic. But yeah, we'll see, mate. I just feel like it's now or never for the Titans. If they don't, you know, pull their finger out and turn this club around, it could be all done. I feel like they might fire up for this season and produce something out of nothing, basically. But yeah, they're at 101 odds to win the premiership for everyone out there at Bet365. These odds are all through Bet365. So yeah, we'll see how they go, mate. We'll move on. Manly Sea Eagles. On the other side of the coin, they were probably the biggest overachievers, you'd have to say, last season. Desi Hasler, incredible stuff, what he was able to do with them in his first season. They finished sixth last year, knocked out in week two of the finals, controversially too. So they nearly made their way to a prelim final. So yeah, key ins, Danny Levi, haven't really lost anyone. They're at 13 in odds to win the premiership, which I think is quite low. And then in terms of injuries, news and stuff like that, Trbojevic brothers, they both had surgery in late 2019, which I think is very interesting. So they're not going to have a full preseason ahead of them. And they've also lost, Fenua Blake has also had surgery too. So Jake Trbojevic and Fenua Blake unlikely to be there round one. Seagulls, mate, what do you think?
I don't like them at all. Roosters fans really hate Manly. I think Manly is one of those clubs that everyone loves to hate as well. But Desi Hasler is a magician. He pulled that side where everyone thought they'd drop off significantly last year, and he did a really good job with them, especially with the injuries that they had last year. Tom was out for a bit.
And, that's right.
And then a few other injuries. So, yeah, Desi works wonders. He's very good. I see them having a very similar year to last year. Maybe, you know, the Trbojevic brothers are very, very good. Daly can work his magic. If Dylan Walker plays what he used to a couple of years ago, he could do anything as well. So they've got a good mix of youth and experience throughout their side, which I think helps, and the young guys keep going. They might have a slow start to the year with Jake Trbojevic and Fenua Blake out early, but that could rest them up and set them on the course for a really big back end of the year. So, I think they'll knock off a few of the top teams, you know, very similar to Cronulla in a way that it wouldn't surprise me if they do really well, and it wouldn't surprise me if they didn't win as many games as they everyone thinks they might. So, I think they're a watch and act side this year, and if they can, as long as Brookvale Oval doesn't fall apart, which it was looking like doing last year, they might be all right.
Yeah, mate, the way I look at it is that Trbojevic brothers are their two best players. I mean, probably along with Daly Cherry Evans. And then you've got also Fenua Blake. I think it's an underrated aspect of the game when players don't get a full preseason. I think it's absolutely pivotal in all the sports, to be honest, that these players come into the season fit and firing, ready to go. And for me, with the Trbojevic brothers not getting a full preseason, along with a big bloke like Adam Fenua Blake, carries a lot of weight around. Probably the nicest way to say it. I don't know. I think they might get to a slow start, and it might affect them. And they might be playing catch up by the end of the season once they're all fit.
Yeah, definitely. Preseason is definitely something that you really need to take seriously, and something that's really important setting up the year. But they won't bring the boys back to play either until they're ready to go, I wouldn't imagine. So they'll put a little mini 4 or 5 week preseason into their bodies, I think, before they get back stuck into it. So Desi knows what he's doing. It'll be an interesting year for the Sea Eagles this year, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially a bloke like Jake Trbojevic too. The bloke just plays on heart most of the time. So I think he'd probably be okay, but it's more so for Fenua Blake I'd be worried about, and he was one of their star players last year. All right, I've got them finishing a lot lower this year. I've got them in 13th, which, as you said, it could be completely correct, or it could be I could be really far off here, mate. What do you think?
I've got them in 11th, so just a little bit higher. I've got them around the same level as the Sharks, just because I don't trust them overly too much. Again, I don't think they've got a huge amount of depth if somebody like Daly or Jake or Tom go down injured again. So that's a bit of a watch and act as well. So, yeah, I've got them in 11th, but don't be surprised if they're up there in the top eight too.
Yeah. All right, we'll have to wait and see, mate. We'll move on to the juggernaut, the Melbourne Storm. Last year, I mean, they won by a record 6 points, or not a record, but in this state of the, you know, this era of the competition, 6 points is a long, long way. But, mate, they didn't even make it to the grand final, knocked out in the semis by the Chooks. They've lost a few over the off-season too. Chambers gone, Curtis Scott gone, Brody Croft gone. They come in at 650 in odds to pick up another premiership. Should be a another massive achievement for the likes of Craig Bellamy, Cunnam Smith. What do you think of the Storm this year, mate?
I underrate the Storm every year. I always say this will be the year they drop off, this will be the year they drop off, and they never do. So I'm not doing that this year. I'm going to say they're going to be right up the top again. The players that have lost, you know, Brody Croft was in and out of the side, so he wasn't really a mainstay.
Yeah.
The other two being centres, I think Chambers was Basti's best anyway, and Curtis Scott was in and out of the side last year too. So they've got relatively the same starting 17 as what they had last year. They've got some pretty exciting players with Pappenhausen and Cam Munster still floating around. Is Cam Smith old now? Is he getting past his best? We'll wait and see. It's gutsy to write off a champ, so I'm not going to do it. And then you've got the likes of Vunivalu, who's heading to rugby union next year, and Ado Carr, who's publicly said he wants back in Sydney next year. So there's a bit of turmoil in the Storm this year, which we're not used to. But, yeah, I can't see them falling away this year from last year at all. So I've got them up at the top again.
Yeah, I think in terms of previewing any side, a lot can happen in an NRL season. You could predict someone to finish in the top four and they'll finish in the bottom four. It's just such a tight competition. But Storm are just that one team, probably along with the Roosters now too, that you honestly put your life on the line that they'll be there come, you know, grand final time, come September footy. Yeah, the biggest question marks over their centres, I think. Can he get Justin Olam and Marion Seve going? They're basically no names. So they always seem to turn these outside backs into incredible players down in Melbourne. So I haven't got much worry there, mate. And Cam Smith. Cam Smith is a legend. As long as he's there, they're always going to be there in September. And in my opinion, they've got the best forward pack in the competition. Like you, mate, I have them in first place.
Yeah, I can't see them dropping off. The center situation is interesting, but Melbourne Storm are a system, really. It doesn't matter who's there. They fit into the system and they work well. It's one in, one out type of thing. So even if they do get a couple of injuries, I think the depth might not be super strong, but they've got the system that's worked well for so many years, and Craig Bellamy knows how to get them going. So, you know, with Cam Smith not playing Origin anymore as well, they don't lose that leadership through the middle of the year and allows them to pick up a few good wins in that time. So they'll do well again. They'll be on top and back for September action once again.
Yep. Yeah, they're basically a sure thing, aren't they, the Storm? All right, Newcastle Knights. Disappointing year last year. They were touted to do big things, finished in 11th place, and that brought the end to Nathan Brown as coach, and they brought in Adam O'Brien, another assistant to Trent Robinson. So the two new coaches in the NRL this year have both done their tutelage under Trent Robinson. Other than that, they've lost Danny Levi and Jesse Ramian. I don't know. What do you think of the Knights this year, mate?
They were a massive disappointment last year, unfortunately. I like them. I think they've got a pretty strong side with strong players across the board. I think they're not trying to play Kalen Ponga at six this year will be a benefit for them.
Definitely.
They can keep the team happy. I think a couple of them had fallen out with the coach last year, so I think they're going well. Kalen will play fullback. Mitch has got another go at seven with another year of his forward pack and his back line. They've got a couple of young guns waiting in the wings, apparently, that could be quite good. So if Kurtman gets his first shot at six and doesn't perform, there's another young kid coming through who's very similar to Kalen, apparently, with his big body. He's got a good step and he's quick off the mark. So he might get his shot throughout the year, and hopefully Big Clem and Saifidi and their forward pack can get them off to a good start and rolling forward, and the backs can play off that.
Are you talking about Bradman Best?
Yes, I have heard of he's quite good as well. Mick Johns came out yesterday and really talked up this young six. He's the son of a former big wave surfer, so I don't think he's played before. I think he's quite young, so they're not going to throw him into it to begin with.
I see. Don't have a name. But yeah, on you, mate.
No, I don't actually. I can find it for you.
I'll figure it out
while you're talking.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Yeah, get that one for me. Yeah, mate, for me, I don't know about the Knights. I think their back line, I don't really think it's that special. Obviously, you take out Kalen Ponga and Mitchell Pearce when I'm talking about that. Forwards, decent. They'll need Jaden Brayley to go to another level, I think, if they want to make the eight and challenge come September time. So I do like their forward pack, but I do think that Mitchell Pearce and Kalen Ponga are carrying this side a little bit, and David Clemmer too. So I think if Kalen Ponga, Mitchell Pearce, either of them don't fire or either of them get an injury, I think they're in massive trouble.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, they're going to be thereabouts, and they'll have some games where they win and everyone goes, how did they win that? But equally, I think they'll have a lot of games where they lose and everyone goes, what happened there? So, which is very similar to what happened last year. I think they just need to get Newcastle home ground back to a fortress it once was. And if they can win some more games at home, then that'll obviously help them throughout the year.
Do you have any knowledge on Adam O'Brien as a coach, mate? He was obviously the assistant under Trent Robinson.
Yeah, I don't have a massive amount of knowledge, but I do know he's very highly rated. Newcastle wanted him. He's going to have that basis from Trent and the way that he operates at the Chook, so that can only help. I know the Roosters definitely didn't want to lose him last year. They were very, very sad. So, yeah, he's going to be a great addition for them, and I think we might see that with the way that they play, and probably especially in defence, that should tighten up a lot this year.
Okay. And did you find that name, mate?
I haven't been able to, mate. Fox Sports is letting me down.
You just got to type in Matty Johns talking up a youngster and I'm sure you'll find it, mate.
I'll get there.
Oh, I found it straight away, mate. You're useless. His name's Tex Hoy. Is that?
That's the one.
Tex Hoy.
Yeah. So he's got an interesting name, the young kid. But, yeah, apparently he's quite exciting coming through.
You just need to improve your Googling skills, mate. I just typed in Matty Johns and went to news and got it straight away. But, all right. Well, sorry, we haven't said what our predictions are, but I've got them finishing in ninth. So just finishing outside the eight. And they're at 26 in odds to win the premiership.
I've got them in seventh this year. I think they'll have a better year this year under a new coach and a new structure. I think the players will be a lot happier this year too. So I expect them to perform closer to their best and have them in seventh.
Yeah, they're dying for some success out in Newcastle, aren't they? All right, we'll go for through the New Zealand Warriors, our last team for part one of the podcast. Last year finished in 13th. Not too much movement over the off-season. They did lose Sam Lassone the other day to the Gold Coast Titans. For me, mate, I am still I can't believe it. Steve Kearney's he's still got his job there as head coach. For me, he's done basically nothing since he started there a couple of years ago. I think he's one of the leading contenders for the coaches that'll be sacked first this season. So for me, mate, they finished in 13th last year. They haven't changed much. Steve Kearney's still the coach. I see the exact same result as last year, basically.
Yeah, speaking of teams that you can't trust, no. the Warriors lead that list, don't they? They got so much potential, and every year it's all, could this be the year? Could this be the year? And it never is. I think you're right with Steve Kearney. I think if he was coaching a team in Sydney and a bit more into the spotlight, there'd be a lot more noise about him, and I think he'd be under a lot more pressure. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think he is on his last legs. There's no one real, like Blake Green's a solid player at seven, but there's no one jumping off the page besides Roger at the back, and feel sorry for him. He's a gun player. He's one of the best players in the comp, but there's not much in front of him that allows him to play his game. He played some incredible football when he was back in the day at the Roosters, and he had a good forward pack in front of him that got him moving and a good set of halves that put him in the right spot. So, I think he'll be up there again for Dally M voting, just because whenever they win a game, he normally gets the three votes. But
exactly.
I don't see too much good for the Warriors this year.
Yeah, I think what's happened, mate, with the Warriors is that especially with Stephen Kerr, he's been there since 2017. But in the last decade, mate, they have chewed through so many coaches. And I think what their idea now is that they just want to try and stick with Stephen Kearney in the hope that it just works. And I don't think it will work, but I think they just want to try and stick with someone for a bit in the hope that it will work. So they had, Matthew Elliott, McFadden, Brian McLennan, Ivan Cleary. Ivan Cleary was kind of the only one that actually got some success out of them, but they got rid of him. I can't see much of a difference. The biggest question, if you look at their back three, I think that's their strong point. You've got Tuivasa-Sheck, like you said, Fusatua and Mamalo, arguably the best back three in the comp. So that's where their talent lies. But I mean, those blokes can't do a thing if the forwards don't aim up, and if you know the likes of Blake Green, Nick Arima, Chanel, Harris, Tavita, if they can't get them around the park, then they're just useless.
Yeah, I agree. I think their forward pack is quite light on. They're big boys, but they don't pack too much punch. So I agree with the back three. I think they're very good. They're all big. Mamalo and Fusatua are big boys, so they get them rolling out of their back half. But it's just when they get over halfway and get going forward that they seem to struggle a fair bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've got them finishing in 15th, mate. They're at 34 in odds to win the premiership. The only thing that would I think help them, for me at least, to get them up the ladder a bit more is if Steve Kearney didn't last the season and they brought a new coach in and they kind of fired up a bit, you know, and started to, you know, actually perform like they should be. Where have you got the Warriors, mate?
Yeah, I've got them in 14th this year. I guess same kind of thinking to you. I just don't see them winning enough games. I don't trust their way of play. I think they're trying to be too fancy with too many offloads too often. So, yeah, Steve Kearney getting the flick halfway through might give the players something to play for a spot in the new coach. I don't have too much optimism for them going into the season.
Yep, agreed, mate. All right, well, that's the end of part one of the Aussie podcast previewing the NRL season 2020 with Jason. We will be back with part two very soon.